Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Chaf Gimel. We're holding on daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis. We are at Ibayi Lehu. Last one line is Ibayi, about 6-7 lines from the end of the page. Today's share is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Benumel, Zechusur for Shalema, for Chayim Naftali Ben from Mitfreda, for Sarah Freda Bas Chaya, and for Devorah Shira Chaya Bas Hinda Peril, Eshalavar for Shalema, Besoch Shar Chale Yisrael. Mm-hmm. So we were in the middle of discussing, the Mishnah had said that a person has to be careful not to leave a behema bepundakal shalovdi kochavim in the care of an ovid kochavim, because they're chashudin ala revia. They have to be choshesh for a concern of revia. So we were discussing some of the related issues to that. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is, what about non-behemos? What about ofos? But then we're going to go back to the conversation that we were having before, and that was that the Gemara was asked a stira, that on the one hand we said that we have to be choshish that they're going to be roveya the behemos, but on the other hand we have a brisa that says, the Tosefta that says, that lochin mehen behema lekarban, that you're allowed to purchase an animal for a carbon from them. It sounds like we're not so choshish for revia. So yesterday we had the answer of Rav Tachlif Am Rav Shila Baravina Mishmei de Rav. So the answer of Rav that an Ovid Chavim is Chasal Behemto, he's going to be concerned for his own animal Shalotei Aker. So when you're buying an animal that he owns, you don't have to worry, he's not going to want to do anything with it because it could ruin the animal. But when it comes to trusting him with your animal, that's going to be a problem. Today, in today's daf, we're going to have two additional answers. We're going to have the answer of Ravina on the very top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, and Ravina is going to discuss, and the Gemara's of the ensuing discussion is going to be, can we distinguish between a lechatchila and a bidiyavit situation, both in terms of a chashash revia for an animal, as well as a chashash that a Ovid Chavim is mezana with a woman, is a boel a woman, as far as can we trust that she's still ksheir lekahuna, can we trust that she's still ksheir lebaila, does it matter what the circumstances are for her capture? And then we're going to have the final answer, is the third answer of Rabbi Pidas, which is about 10 lines into the page of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, where he's going to explain the machlokas tanaim. He's going to suggest that it's really a machlokas whether we're choshesh that of the chav maroveya, and he's going to explain based on that that maybe that's the explanation of the machlokas tanaim, whether you're allowed to purchase a para aduma from novid chavim. Oh, once we quote a machlokas tanaim about whether you're allowed to purchase the para aduma from novid chavim, so we're going to discuss related topics relating to para aduma and what the specific concern is by getting it from novid chavim, whether there are specific drushas that tell me not to do it, and what the status of para aduma is in general. Is a para aduma kachay mizbeach? It's not really brought as a carbon on the mizbeach, but on some level it seems to have an elevated status of kachay mizbeach, or is it only kachay bedek habayis? And if you want to argue that you're not allowed to buy it from novik chavim, what about one of the top five most famous stories in Shas with Dama ben Nesina, where Dama ben Nesina sold a para aduma as it was a reward that he was able to have a para aduma because of his wonderful mitzvah of kibbutz aveim, that he was considered one of the paradigmatic examples of how to perform the mitzvah of kibbutz aveim. So that will be at the very end of the daf. So let's begin Ibayiluhu, about 6 lines from the end of the page. Ibayiluhu ofos mai. We know we're not allowed to trust our behemos with Ovdei Kochavim, can we trust our ofos with Ovdei Kochavim? Tashma, Dam Rabbi Dam Rishmol Mishum Rabbi Chanina, Ani Reisi Ovid Chavim Shalokach Avaz Min Hashuk. He says, I once saw an Ovid Chavim buy a goose from the shuk, which is a type of oaf, Rava Chanka Tzala V'Achla. And it was disgusting what he did to this animal. He was Roveya the animal, he then killed the animal, choked the animal, he then roasted the animal, and he then ate the very animal that he was Roveya. So there are no limits in terms of the behavior of these Ovdei Kochavim, the kinds of things that they would do, the indecent things that they would do. V'amar Rav Yirmi Midifti, Ani Re'isi Arav Yechad, Shalakach Yerach Min Hashuk. And Rav Yirmi Midifti says, I saw a certain Aravi that bought a thigh from the Shuk, just a slab of meat. It wasn't even an animal, it was just a slab of meat. V'chakak Ba'kadei Revia, and he hollowed out a hole in it that was enough within which to commit an indecent act on the animal, and then Rava Tzala V'Achla, and he too was Roveya, that slab of meat, he roasted it, and he ate it. So you can't trust anything, not with Alphos, not with anything else. These people, these of the Chachavim in those times, were people who are they would stop at nothing. They would they would do these horrendous things, these horrific things. Okay, so now back to our discussion. So the Gemara had said we have a stira. On the one hand, our Mishnah says you cannot trust your behemoth with an Ovid Chavim because he's going to be Roveya the animal. On the other hand, we said that you're allowed to purchase a carbon from an Ovid Chavim. You're allowed to purchase an animal that you want to use as a carbon, but Nirva is a puzzle to use as a carbon. So why is it that you're allowed to purchase from an Ovid Chavim? So we answered again. One answer yesterday was the answer of Rav, that when it's his own animal, he's going to be very careful. He's not going to do anything like that. When it's your animal, he's not going to be as careful. Answer number two, Ravina Amar Lokasha. Halachadchila hadiyaved. There's a difference between a lachadchila situation and a bidiyaved situation. Now, normally when we say halachadchila bidiyaved, bidiyaved means that it's already done, right? So it's a question of was something possible or not. But over here, what are we saying? That our Mishnah says, don't give your animal to the Ovid Chavim, bipundakashal of the Chavim. That's lachadchila. Lachadchila, don't give it to him. And what's the bidiyaved? The case of the Tosefta, where you're buying a carbon from him. Isn't that an act, l'charchila? Why is that a bidiyavid? Bidiyavid would have been, you bought the animal, you brought it as a carbon, and now you want to know, was the carbon, do you have to bring another carbon? I mean, do you have to, was it possible? That would be a bidiyavid. But apparently we're considering this to be enough of a bidiyavid, that this, just the fact that he already has it, and you want to buy the carbon. So that's a major question. What makes this l'charchila and a bidiyavid? So Rashi and the Ritva say that Ravina does not mean to say that b'diavad were not choshish l'ravia. He means to say that dafka giving them behema b'pundukaus is asr because you're choshish that the guy will be roveya. But once the behema was already in the rishus of the guy, we don't ask the behema michashash that maybe it was already nirva because it has a chazaka that it's mutter the carbon. When it was born, it was mutter to use as a carbon and therefore maintain its chazaka. So while we are choshish for the future, it's similar to what the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, that shema yamus chayshinan, shema meis lo chayshinan. That the fact that someone might die, yes, everyone eventually will die, so yes, so that we're choshish for that, but that someone has already died, that we're not choshish. So it's not l'chadchil b'diavad in the classic meaning, it's future versus past. Other Rishonim learn a little bit differently. The Sefer HaTruma, some of the Tosa Rosh, some of the other Rishonim suggest that Ravina means to say that Dafka B'dieved were not Choshish for Ravia, and you're still allowed to buy Behemos for a Karban L'chadchila, because buying Behemos for Akrava is considered like a B'dieved. So they're not exactly clear on why. Why is it considered like a B'dieved? So Pashtus, I think, is that we have a rule in all of Shas, that Shas Adchak that whenever you're faced with a Shas Adchak, that's considered like a B'dieved. It halachically is the equivalent of a B'dieved. So if the only Mochre Behemos that were available were of the Chavim, so we wouldn't have Karbanos otherwise. It would be very difficult to find enough animals to buy as Karbanos if we were only able to buy from Jewish animal herders. How many Jewish animal herders do you know? So it was there was apparently a much more popular thing to be able to find of the Chavim who are in such a business, and therefore that's considered enough of a Shas Adchak. Shas Adchak is Kediyaved Dami. The other issue that many of the Rishonim raise over here is the very fact that Ravina needs to give a new answer to the stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa about the Chashash Ravia seems to show us that Ravina doesn't agree with Rav's approach. Rav's approach was that a guy is Chasal Behemto Shalote Aker. Now you could assume he's not going to do such things to his own animal. So asks Tosfos if that's true, that Ravina rejects Rav's approach and he thinks that a guy is not Chasal Behemto and that he will do these things to his own animal. How are we ever allowed to sell behemos to Goyim? Isn't there a chashash that he's going to be roveya it? And if so, we're in violation of Lifnei Iver. So forget about Pundakaus. Why are we allowed to sell it? Sell a behema to an Ovid Chavim, if we have to worry that even things that he owns, he's going to do that with, according to Ravina. So some of the Rishonim suggest that since if we were to Aser selling behemoths to Goyim, it would be a huge, it would be a Hefsin Meruba from the Mokrim, and we have to worry that it would cause Eva, because what? All of a sudden Jews refuse to sell things to Goyim, they're only opening their businesses for other Jews, so that's like a Dievet, meaning very similar to what these Rishonim suggested in terms of how we're defining B'dievet over here. Shas Adchak K'dievet Dami, that even though it's not really a B'dievet, but it would be a tremendous Shas Adchak, and therefore that makes it like a B'dievet. Toshan suggests differently. He says Ravina would hold, like what Rav said in yesterday's daf, that the Mishnah is talking about places where the where Goyim are Chashudim al Ravia, and the, I'm sorry, not in yesterday's daf, but way back in Daf Yudalid, and the Mishnah is talking about places that they're not Chashud on Ravia. So you have, meaning the Mishnah that allows selling on Yudalid, that allows selling behemoths of the Chavim, is where they're not Chashud on Ravia. It all depends on the reality of the situation. You have to assess what are the moral standards of the local of the Chavim. But Tosos over there suggests a different possibility. That even Ravina agrees that a guy is Chasal Behemto. Ravina also agrees he doesn't want to ruin his animal. And that's why you're allowed to sell them behemoths. But still, he says, that would not be enough reason to permit one to buy behemoths for a carbon, because maybe by a carbon, we should be a little more careful. So as a reality, is it enough of a chance that he's going to do this to his own behemoths that we have to worry about it? No, as a reality, we don't have to worry about it. But there is still a minor chance. And therefore, when it comes to carbonos, like malas ubekachim, we made a special chumra when it comes to carbonos, when it comes to kachim, that we're going to be a little bit more discerning and more careful when it comes to which animals we're going to buy for kachim. So that's the chiluk between lechachil and b'dievet. So I ask the Gemara, second line on the page, chav kimel meralef, uminat heimra deshaini bein lechachil bein l'dievet. Where do we find a precedent for such thing, for such an idea that we distinguish between lechachil and b'dievet? Ditznan, we have a similar Mishnah, not when it comes to a behema by an Ovid Chavim, but what about when a human being is left in their care? A woman cannot be left alone with them because they're chashud on arayos. That's our Mishnah. That was the second halacha in our Mishnah. But urim minhu, I'll ask you, stira, is it true that any time a woman is alone with them, we have to be chashish for arayos? Ha'isha shenech b'sha b'dei ovdei kochavim al yidei mamon muteres l'bayla. If the Ovid Kochavim takes the Isha and he captures her, if it's Al Yedei Mamon, she's Muteres Labayla. Rashi says that she's Chayiv Mamon to the Goy, and that's why he took her. Ravit Osarash suggests that the husband was Chayiv Mamon to the Goy, and that's why he took her. But the point is, it was because there was some unpaid debt, and that's why he's taking her. So she's Muteres Labayla, even though she's all alone with this Ovid Kochavim. Al Yedei Nefashos Asura Labayla, but if it's Al Yedei Nefashos, she's Asura Labayla, she's going to be Asur to her husband. But the point is, meaning our issue is not the Ali Dei Nefashos part, it's the Ali Dei Mamon part, that you see that even though she's all alone with the guy, we're not Choshesh that he did anything to her. Yet in our Mishnah we said, no, you can't have Yichud, any Yichud, we have to be Choshesh that he did something to her. It must be that the answer to that stira is L'chadchila B'dieved. L'chadchila, she cannot have Yichud with him, but if she already has had yichud with him, as long as it was only al yidei mamon, not al yidei nefashos, she's going to be muteres. What does al yidei nefashos mean? So Rashi says that it means that the woman herself is chayiv misa by the goyim. So that's the case of al yidei nefashos. The Rashba, the Ritva say no, that it's talking about the husband is chayiv misa, and the derech of the malchus is to be mafkir the wives of those who are chayiv misa. So you have to be choshesh that he was boel her in that situation. Magen Mishnah Hilchsi Surabiyah says that we're talking about an Eishas Rotzeach or an Eishas Ganav, that the Goyim are Choshed, that she knows about everything her husband was up to. So that's why they're going to kill her as well. And since they're going to kill her anyway, they're not going to be Choshed to be Boel her. They'll do whatever they want to her. But that's Al Yedei Nefashos. Al Yedei Nefashos, she'll become complete Hefker and she'll be Asur Labayla. So ask the Gemara, Mimai, but how do you know that's the distinction, that it's a L'chadchila versus B'dieva distinction? Maybe I'll tell you that even b'dieved, you can't assume everything's okay. Now, you know why over here, when he captures her, Ali de Mamon, you can assume he didn't do anything? Siari Mishum Hefsin Mamono. He's afraid of losing his money, meaning if he's owed money, he better return her intact if he wants his money back, meaning she's his bargaining chip. But if the husband's not going to be able to take her back anyway, and he's going to say, I'm not giving your wife back until you pay me the money that you owe or that she owes, the husband might say, well, I can't get her back anyway. You've already violated her, you've already ruined her, so I can't get her back anyway. I'm not going to pay. So the Ovid Chavim is going to be very careful when he knows that his money's at stake. Teda, and the raya to that is that but for the fact that he's concerned about his money, we absolutely cannot trust him with the Isha. The Katani Seifa, Al Yidei Nefashos Asur Labayla. It says in the Seifa that Al Yidei Nefashos, she is Asur Labayla. So apparently we don't trust him with anything. So says Gemara, Vesulo Midi. And that's the end of the conversation. There's nothing else to say. That seems to be a very clear dechia to this distinction between the Chachil and B'diavid. It's not the Chachil B'diavid distinction. The distinction is, does he have any good reason not to be bolder? The assumption is he will be bolder unless he has a good reason not to do it. So for the Pashas of the Gemara, it sounds like the Maskana, we aser any woman that has yuchud with a guy when the guy would not lose out, meaning the default in the Pashas of the Gemara, the Pashas of the Maskana over here, is that any woman who has yuchud with a guy, unless he has some good reason not to be bolder, we have to be choshesh that he's bolder, which means if she's neshesish, from yuchud alone, she should be aser to her husband. If she's a penuya, from yichud alone, she should not be allowed to marry a kohen. So understandably, this is something that bothered a lot of the Rishonim, meaning to be choshe, anytime a woman is misyachid with a guy, so how are we nitzel me'averim b'chol yom? Of course women are misyachid with a guy from time to time. So the Yireim suggests, yeah, ein achidami, every isha that's misyachid with a guy, shah achas, is a surah labayla, automatically becomes a surah labayla. But the Rav Rishonim did not assume that way. The Mordechai in Maseches Kiddushin is mechalik, that dafka, when she's by the, over here when we talk about misyachid, it doesn't mean misyachid in terms of a sheer yichud, you know, till how many minutes till the photographer bangs on the yichud room door and says, get out of there. You know, we're not talking about the 8 minute sheer yichud or whatever it might be. We're talking about yamim rabim, that she's there for a long time. They have this ongoing thing. Tosos suggests that the Gemara doesn't mean to reject Ravina at all. Ravina's chilek between the chachil and b'diavad stands at the end of the Gemara. The Gemara rejects Ravina's raya that there's a chilek between the chachil and b'diavad. We said, how did he know this chilek between the chachil and b'diavad? Oh, it must be from the case of the Isha al Yedei Mamon versus our Mishnah. That's not necessarily a raya. The Isha al Yedei Mamon may be a different story, but it doesn't mean that we hold the dechia. It's just the dechia to show that it's not necessarily a raya. Furthermore, Tulsa says, the Gemara is machriya that any time a guy doesn't have hefsed mamon, we have to be choshish for bi'ila, that's only kishe nechbisha, where he has overpowered her and taken control of her. Yeah, maybe even for 8 minutes, but if he's overpowered and taken control of her, most of the situations where a woman is miyachid with a guy, it's not that he has overpowered her, it's that she was talking to him and they happened to look around. No one else was in the room anymore. She went in under her own choice. So in such a case, we're not choshish automatically that he was boel her when there was no sense of overpowering. Now that's how some of the Rishonim, there are other answers in Rishonim as well, but that's at least how some of the Rishonim deal with this issue. Now this halacha, that any woman that's nechbesha b'yad of the chavim, that we, unless it's al yidei mamon, we automatically assume that he was boel her, was very nogea halacha l'maisa two generations ago, right after the Holocaust. So the poskim had a very serious shaila on their hands. Is every woman who went through the Holocaust considered a shvuya, someone who's nechbesha b'yad of the chavim? In which case, if she was married prior to that, she'd be asura labayla, and if she was not married prior to that, she's still, even if she was not married prior to that, she'd be asura lekohen, which would mean a huge crisis, because that would mean no kohen would be allowed to get married after, no kohen survivor would be allowed to get married, and anyone who was previously married, and then miraculously, he and his wife both survived, would not be able to stay married. So what exactly is the heter when it comes to that? Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear. In Ebenezer Simon Zayin, a Bas Yisrael that's Nishbeis Lebein Agoyim, if she's 3 years old or older, Asura Lekohen, she's a Safek Zona. And we see it very clearly in our Sugya. The Rama writes, Yesh Omrim, that if she's Nechbisha Machmas Iske Nefashos, that they're interested in killing, they're not interested in her money, so she's Asura Afilu Lebaila Yisrael, she's Asur to her Yisrael husband, that Rechoshesh Shemin Nisratzeis Lehem. It's not you see, an anusa, if a woman is an anusa and she's married to Yisrael, she's allowed to go back to the Yisrael. But we're choshish that she wasn't an anusa. Maybe she was nevelous to them in order to try to save her life. So once she's in the Sratzes, so kadesh shelo yargua, she would be aser. So that's the question the poskim had to deal with. So in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak in Chelik Aleph Simon Pei Zion, he writes that even though according to the Yesh Orman that the Ramah quotes, Rechoshesh by anyone who's Nech B'Sham Machmas Nefashos, that maybe she was in a Sratza to try to save herself, and that way she'd be Asra Afilu Yisrael. But in this case, he says there's no way she's Asra Yisrael, because the Gezerah was clearly Lahashmid, Laharog. No Ritzoy in the world would have helped, and they all knew it. There was no stories of people, say, of women agreeing, oh, if I'm Nivellus with you, so then you'll spare my life. No one was being saved in such a way. So if that's the case, he said it was against the Nazi law. If a Nazi officer were caught with such a thing, he would be punished severely for doing this. And the Minchas Yitzchak writes, Va'av shehem chashvu l'ra'a, Hashem chashvu l'tova. Meaning, even though it was because they viewed Jews as animals and as subhuman, and that's why they didn't want this, but Hashem chashvu l'tova. Thank God that's the way they did, because otherwise it could have been a disaster in terms of the halacha. But that only helps as far as the Eishes Yisrael. What about a woman who wants to marry a Kohen? So that, the Minchas Yitzchak says, we could be makel based on a tshuva in the Trumas Hadeshen, that a basula that's captured in a place where the law is to kill anyone who's ma'anis es habasula is mutar afilu l'koyim. Meaning, if they have a law against being ma'anis habasula, the goyim have such a law. Chalks Mechalke quotes this Trumas Hadeshen. So if they have a law against doing it, so then you know that they're not going to be ma'anis the girl. So he wants to suggest that maybe that is one sniff lahatir. He quotes a Ma'arik as well, that an eshes kohen that's nesiachta im hegmon v'komer v'beis tiflasam, she has yichud with some sort of priest or something. You don't have to be choshesh that he was ma'anis her, because it's yadua that adraba, rov of the nachrim in that position are prushim min anashim legamri, that where priests generally stay away from women entirely. So maybe that's enough of a reason that when you see that reasonably it's not a concern. Furthermore, any time the halacha is that any time she wasn't alone, she was with somebody else. So chaveroseha mi'idos aleha, the other people who were with her in the camps could be made on her. Furthermore, he says, how do I know that any woman was ever in a concentration camp if not for the fact that she tells us that she was? So apesha asar hu apesha hitir, meaning the Beis Din doesn't know this woman, she just shows up to the Beis Din. We don't know that she only told us that she's a survivor. So that's how we know. So with all of these snifim lahakel, that's why the Minchas Yitzchak ultimately is mekel, as is the Satmar Rebbe and Divrei Yoel. I have heard of poskim or of rabbanim who've allowed, you know, sometimes you have a situation, people turn this on its head, you have a situation where a guy falls in love with a Kohen, falls in love with a Gioras or whatever, or with a guy, and ultimately she becomes a Gioras, and it's a real problem, he's not allowed to marry her, but he fell in love. So some rabbi said, oh, maybe he's not really a Kohen, maybe his grandmother was a survivor, or his mother was a survivor, so she was a Shavuya, and she was a Surah the Kohen, so the children are halalim, and it loses the whole kuna. You have to be very careful about giving such a psak, because think about what that means. That means that everyone who married a kohen, that entire generation, was committing an isser. That every woman that went back to her husband was committing an isser. That's a very, very dangerous thing to say. One has to be very careful about such things. Aside from the fact that sometimes people give these psakim, and it's a stira within the family. There are five brothers. Their last name is Kohen. They're all Kohanim. They're all Duchening. They're all. But one of them decided he fell in love with a Shiksa and he wants to be Megai or he wants to marry. Okay, fine. You're not a Kohen anymore. So what about all of his brothers? They're still Kohanim? Very, very difficult. So says Gemara Vayter now. Third suggestion. Rabbi Pedas Amar. How are we miyashiv the stira between the Mishnah and the Brisa? So the Mishnah says that you cannot trust the guy with the Ovid Chavim, with your Behema, and the the brisa that says you're allowed to buy your korban from the Ovid Chavim. Rabbi Dasa Amar Lo Kasha. Ha Reb Lazar Ha Rabbanan. It's Machlokas. Machlokas Reb Lazar and the Rabbanan. Ditnan Gabe Paras Chatas, because we have such a Mishnah when it comes to Para Aduma. The context of the Mishnah is by Para Aduma. That Reb Lazar Omer Eina Nikachas Min Ovid Chavim V'Cham Matirim. Reb Lazar says you're not allowed to buy Para Aduma from an Ovid Chavim. The Chavim say you can. What are they arguing about? Why could you or couldn't you? So my love, Vahakam Ifugi. Reb Lazar Sovra Chashin on the Revia. Reb Lazar is concerned that maybe the animal was Nirva. Rabbanan Sovra Lo Chashin the Revia. And the Rabbanan aren't concerned about it. So you see that that's Gufa Machlokas Tanaim. So no problem. Our Mishnah that says that you have to worry is Reb Lazar. The Braisa that says that you're allowed to buy an animal as a korban is the Shita of the Rabbanan. That must be what they're arguing about. Now, Tos Chachme Anglia and Tos Rabbein Elchanan raise the question that if the Machlokas between Reb Lazar and the Rabbanan is about Revia, why does it Dafka say the Machlok is by Parah Aduma and not by any other carbon? Revia is a psul by every carbon. If that were the issue, then this Machlok shouldn't have been so specific to Parah Aduma. So he suggests, maybe the Mishnah is coming to tell us a Chiddush, that even Parah Aduma, which is very, very valuable, so you would think Reb Lazar wouldn't be Choshish Revia, because the guy's got to be out of his mind to risk losing all that money for momentary pleasure of the Revia. So you might think that Reb Lazar would be making in that situation. So coming to tell us a chiddush that Reb Lazar is still going to be choshish l'revia. That's one possibility. There's another possibility, but it's better understood once we get further in the Gemara. So says Gemara Mimai. How do I know that that's what the machlokas Reb Lazar and the Rabbanan is about? Dilma dekuliyam lo choshish l'revia. Maybe really everyone says we don't have to be choshish for revia. Vahacha in the time of Reb Lazar, and the reason Reb Lazar does not allow buying a para adumer from an Ovid Chavim is a totally different reason, because Rabbi Dom Rav, it has to do with what Rabbi Dom Rav said. Dom Rabbi Dom Rav, he niach alayan uda shal sakin pasla. That when it comes to Parah Aduma, it has to be something that had no avoda done with it whatsoever. And what's considered working with it, even if you just put a bunch of empty sacks on its back, that's enough for it to be considered that it's already worked, puzzle for Parah Aduma. So that's what Blaz is concerned about. Not that it was nirva, not that the animal was, that the guy did something in terms of revia to the animal, but maybe he threw some bags on the animal's back, and that would be enough to possibly. By Egla Rufa, that wouldn't be enough to possibly. Just throwing something on its back would not be enough. But you would have to throw something on its back and then be Moshech, and then have the animal schlep it for you. But by Parah Aduma, it's so minimal. Even just Uda Shal Sakin is enough to possibly. So Mar Sover Chashinan, Umar Sover Lo Chashinan. That's the Machlok Zer Blaz Rabbanan. Nothing to do with a Chashash of Revia. No one's concerned about Revia. So says Gemara Lo Salkadaitach, Mishum Nicha Porta Lo Mafsatuva. No, the guy would have to be, no one would say that we're concerned that he would put some bags on the animal's back. He'd have to be out of his mind to do that. He's going to lose all this money. The Parah Aduma is extraordinarily valuable. So no one would be choshesh that he would do that. So it must be that, why does Reb Lazar say you can't buy a Parah Aduma from Novik Chavim? It's not because of putting bags on its back, it's because of a Chashash Revia. So says Gemara, but he'd have to be out of his mind. Hachnami, Lemi Mishuma, no. Porto Lomav Setuva. Why would he be Roveya the animal? Doesn't he realize he's going to lose all this money if he's Roveya the animal? Hasam Yitzhar Tokfa. Yeah, but, you know, that's the power of Yetzer Hari. You know, like every time another scandal erupts with some politician or some major public figure, it's like you think, hey, is this guy out of his mind? Doesn't he realize he's going to ruin his whole life? He's going to ruin his whole reputation? Yeah, Yitzhar Tokfa. That people have a Yetzer Hara, and they do these things in these situations. Tosfos raises the question, how could Rav say earlier in Daf Tezvav that you're allowed to sell behemos to Goyim and we're not Choshish Mishum Revia because the guy is going to be Chasoleh, it's his own animal, he doesn't want to ruin his own animal. Yitzro Tokfo, apparently he'll do anything in the heat of the moment, Yitzro Tokfo. So Tosla suggests there's a difference. By the Parah Aduma, he has that shadow of a doubt in his mind, I might not get caught. I might still be able to sell it, I might still be able to make the money. But if it's his own animal and he knows that being Raveh, the animal, is going to ruin the animal, it's not about getting caught. It's not about, you know, he can't justify in his head how he might not get caught. He's here right now through this Maisa destroying the animal. Yitzro Tokfo would not be enough of a svara to say that he would go and destroy his own animal right on the spot. But it would be enough of a svara for him to come up with any excuse as to why he doesn't think he's going to get caught. Now the Rishonim are also bothered by Akash over here. Why doesn't the Gemara prove that the Svar of Reb Lazar is not about what they put on the animal's back from the fact that Reb Lazar asks buying all animals for karbanos from Gayim? Meaning, if it were only about Para Aduma, say in Achinami, that could be about putting empty sacks on its back. But animals that had empty sacks on its back could be used as any other karban, and yet Reb Lazar doesn't allow buying any karban from Avdei Chavim. So the Ritva suggests that in Achinami, that would have been a good dechia to this attempted explanation. But the Ritva says he is sowed, that we always prefer to ask misvara rather than to ask from another Mishnah, which is somewhat surprising. He says, only when it's e'efshar lahakshos misvara will we be maksha mimakom acher. So to bring another Mishnah where Reb Lazar holds explicitly that you're not allowed to buy any behemos for any karbanos from of the Chavim Enochinami, that would prove 100% that the Svar of Reb Lazar is not about putting bags on its back, but we'd rather just show that even Misvara doesn't make sense. We would ask the question, Mineu Bei, rather than asking from somewhere else. And that seems to be the tradition, that such a kasha is considered a stronger kasha. In fact, in Rabbi Kiv Eger, every time if you look in the Gilei Nashas, whenever Rabbi Kiv Eger asks a kasha in the Gilei Nashas, so sometimes he almost never answers his kashas, and sometimes he leaves it as Vitzarach Iyun, and sometimes he writes a stronger Lashon, Vashem Yair Seinai, that Hashem should lighten my eyes, I don't know what's going on over here. So the difference is, he writes Vitzarach Iyun when his kasha is from somewhere else. Hashem Yair Seinai is when there's a problem in Neu Bei within the sugya itself. When the problem is within the sugya itself, that's considered a stronger kasha than the fact that you have a stira in two different makamos. So that's a yesod that the Ritva suggests over here. Okay, so says Gemara Vayta, V'dilma Dekuliyama Lo Cheshinu L'Raviya. Maybe everyone says we're not really concerned about Raviya. You know why Reb Lazar asks buying the Parah Aduma? Can Tani Shila, based on what Tani Shila, the Tani Shila, my time is Reb Lazar, da beryl b'nei Yisrael v'yichu elecha. B'nei Yisrael yichu v'enu chavim yichu. That it's exeris hakasuv, they can only buy from B'nei Yisrael. You're not allowed to buy from of the chavim. Lo salkadaitach. Says, well, that can't be. The Tani Seifa, v'cheinoi Reb Lazar posa b'kal ha-kabarnas kulan. We can't ask on this misvara. We have to actually bring the other maramakam now, that Reb Lazar asks all karbanos to buy any karban from Navi Chavim. There's no such gzeres hakasuv by every other karban. V'isal kadaitach k'tani shila. But if Tani Shila is correct, that it's based on v'yikhu bishlam aparah k'siv b'kicha, yeah, by Parah Aduma you have such a pasuk, elukul karbanos kicha k'sivu. By other karbanos you have such a lashon of kicha? No, you don't. So it can't be that that's the svara for Reb Lazar based on some gzeres hakasuv, because the gzeres hakasuv doesn't exist by other karbanos. So says Mar Vidilma Adkan lo pligi Rabbanan leider Reb Lazar ella bipara didamei yikarin. Maybe the Rabbanan who allow buying the Parah Aduma from Rabbi Chavim only allow it by a Parah Aduma because it's so expensive, the guy's going to be so careful with it. Aval b'shar karbanos modulei. Maybe when it comes to every other karban, the Rabbanan will be modeh. The Elahad Tanya, so says Gemara, but then what do? The Brisa says, Lochen ben mehen behema l'karban. We have a Brisa that says that you're allowed to buy animals from Avdei Chavim for a karban. If you want to tell me that even the Rabbanan agree to Reb Lazar that no, you're not, that it's only the Parah Aduma that you're allowed to, well then money, who are you going to attribute that Brisa to? Lo Reb Lazar, lo Rabbanan. It wouldn't be according to any Tana. Va'ot Tanya behedya. Plus, we have a Beferish Abraisa. My Osivule Chavroy L'Reb Lazar. What was the question that the other Tanoim asked in Reb Lazar to shlug up Reb Lazar? Kol Tzom Kedu Yikabtu Lach Yalu Al Mizbechi. So you see that that's talking about other karbanos. And yet they use that as a kasha on Reb Lazar to show that you're allowed to buy from Novin Kachavim. So you see clearly that the Rabbanon hold by other karbanos as well, it's permitted to buy from Novin Kachavim. And Reb Lazar holds, even by Parah Aduma, it's usher to buy from an Ovid Chavim. Says Mar Adkan lo pligi ella b'chashasha. So the whole concern, the whole machlokas is, do we have to be choshesh that the Beimel is nirva? Aval hechot vade rava pasla. But one thing for sure, that if the Parah Aduma, if you know that the guy was Raveya the Parah Aduma, then for sure it's pasla. You're not allowed to use it for a Parah Aduma. So says Gemara, what does that tell us about Parah Aduma? The fact that there's a psul Raveya, shema mina de Parah Kachem is be'achi. That seems to be a clear raya that Parah Aduma is viewed as Kachem is be'ach and not simply katshe bedek habayis, because if it were katshe bedek habayis, there is no psul of revia. Di katshe bedek habayis mi mifsul ba revia. If we're only katshe bedek habayis, why would revia be a psul? Meaning, if you just look at what happens to the paraduma, it doesn't seem like it's katshe mizbeach because it doesn't go on the mizbeach. Now the whole procedure is done in har zesim. It's not even done on the har habayis. So it's an unusual kind of carbon. So there's a very interesting lamdus in what the exact status of a para is. There are certain things that seem to indicate halachos of katshe mizbeach, but gadol, it doesn't seem like katshe mizbeach. So it seems that this is a raya that it's katshe mizbeach because revi is a psul. Says no, shiny para dechatos kari rachmana. It's treated like katshe mizbeach because the Torah calls it a chatos, and chatos is katshe mizbeach. Elameata ti possibly otzidofen. Oh yeah, it's katshe mizbeach. Katshe mizbeach, if it's born with C-section, if it's born as a yotzi dofen, would not be kosher to use on the mizbeach. Would you say that it's a psul for para adum also if it's a yotzi dofen? The chitei machinami. And if you'd say yeah, for sure, it's a psul. Alamatanya hikdishu yotzi dofen psul of Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Why would Rabbi Shimon say that it's kosher? True, Tanakama says that yotzi dofen is psul for para adum, but if it's katshe mizbeach, why in the world would Rabbi Shimon be machshir? Rabbi Shimon certainly is not going to be machshir other korbanos that are yotzi dofen. Why would he be machshir paraduma that's yotzi dofen? V'chi tamer Rabbi Shimon l'tamed am yotzi dofen v'lad na'al yehu. Unless you say, no, Rabbi Shimon's okay with the yotzi dofen in all circumstances. Rabbi Shimon thinks that yotzi dofen, that an animal person, whatever, is born with yotzi dofen, is a regular leida. V'am Rabbi Yochanan moda hay Rabbi Shimon l'nkachem sheno kadosh, but we know that's not true. Rabbi Shimon is moda by karbanos that a yotzi dofen is pasul. So if Rabbi Shimon holds that a yotzi dofen is kosher for paraduma, it can't be that he's treating a paraduma like a regular carbon. El shiny para hoel umum posoba dvar erva vavod zar nami posoba. You know why a paraduma is pasul when it's nirva? Not because it's katshe mizbeach, but because we have a special gzeres hakasav that anything that has a psul of a mum, anytime a mum would passel an animal, then revia would also passel an animal. Where do we learn such a thing? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says ki mashchasam behem mum bam and lo yiratzu lechem. It goes on to say v'tarnit b'Rabbi Shmuel kol makom shenemar hashchasa. It says mashchasam. Anytime it says hashchasa, enol dvar erva v'avodazar. The term hashchasa is a reference to either erva or avodazar. How do I know that? Dvar erva dichsiv ki hishchis kol basar es darko al ha'aretz, that the pasuk says in Parshas Noach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that hishchis kol basar es darko, and that was reference to erva. V'avodazara dichsiv, and by avodazara I know it from Dvarim, pentashchisun v'asisam lechem pesel, lest you do a hashchasa and make avodazara. So v'haparinami ho'ol umum posoba dvar erva v'avodazchavim pasliba. So paradum also, it does have a din of a psul mum, and that's why revia is going to pasul the paraduma. So the reason the paraduma is pasul is not on account of it being katshe mizbeach. The reason a paraduma that's nirva is pasul is not on account of it being katshe mizbeach. If it were on account of it being katshe mizbeach, then everyone should agree yotzei dofen is pasul for paraduma. No, it's because there's a special gzeres hakasav that anytime there's a mum anytime a mum would pasul, erva would pasul as well, and a paraduma a mum pasuls. So Mela Dvar Erva Apostles as well. But says Gemara Gufa, we just said before, Tani Shila, my time to Reb Lazar. What's the svar for Reb Lazar that you're not allowed to buy a para aduma from an Ovid Chavim? Dechsiv, because it says in Pasuk, Tabel Bnei Yisrael Yichachu. Bnei Yisrael Yichu, Veinov de Chavim Yichu. And we darshan from there that when you purchase a para aduma, the purchase must be made from Bnei Yisrael. It may not be made from Ovid Chavim. Oh yeah? Anytime it says V'yichu, it means that you have to get the material from a Yisrael and not from an Ovid Chavim. Elameata, Daberel Bnei Yisrael, V'yichu li truma. Pasuk says, Daberel Bnei Yisrael, V'yichu li truma. So does that mean that everything we got from the Mishkan, Hachanami, the Bnei Yisrael Yichu, Veinav the Chavim Yichu, we couldn't purchase anything that was needed for the Mishkan from Ovdei Chavim? V'chi Tema Hachanami, and if you're going to say, yeah, Hachanami, you can't purchase anything that was needed from the Mishkan from Ovdei Chavim, But don't we have a famous story about Kibbutz Aveim, where they asked Rabbi Elazar, to what extent does one have to go with Kibbutz Aveim? And as we're going to see the story, Be'ezras Hashem, the story is going to tell us about when they needed something for the Mikdash, the only place to buy it was from an Oved Chachavim. So don't tell me that, and they bought it, and that was a great story. It's one of the legendary stories about Kibbutz Aveim, but part of the details of the story was something we needed for the Mikdash, and we purchased from an Oved Chachavim. So Be'ezras Hashem will pick up with that question tomorrow.